Hello and welcome to the Poppin' Bottles Dadcast. I'm Ben.
I'm Coffee.
And
I'm Nick.
You're Nick.
This is coffee in my hand.
Well, you know, it's better than the weird juice thing that I have. I've got my Kale Warrior juice.
That's gross.
It is. It's incredibly gross. I mean, okay. So here's the weird thing about these. The brand is called Naked Juice. Right?
Yeah, I know Naked Juice.
Yeah. It's, how do I put this?
Gross.
I can drink it, it tastes good, I just can't smell it while I'm drinking it, because if I smell it while I'm drinking it, then I'll lose everything that's in my stomach. It's terrible.
That's not good.
Pretty much.
I'd recommend a clothespin.
Okay.
For your nose.
Well, see, here's the thing, though. So, I hold my breath. And here, I can show it to you on camera. They won't see. But, look, bendy straw.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I'm not even really coming that close to it. But, yeah. You stick with your damn coffee.
Yeah, what you guys can't see is that by bendy straw, Ben means he has 12 straws assembled into one big bendy straw, so it's about 14 feet from his face.
You know, I wish that was the case. If I had more time this morning, I would probably do that. Because that's double what I usually drink in a day. So, you know. Yeah.
You know, so for those of you who don't know, it's Groundhog Day.
It is Groundhog Day.
If you didn't know what day we record, it's Groundhog Day.
Phil Corliss.
Punxsutawney Phil? They're different Phils.
Oh, different Phils. Okay. I was thinking of our buddy. Sorry.
No, it's Punxsutawney Phil. If he sees his shadow, I never remember what it is. Six more weeks of winter.
Okay.
That motherfucker always sees his shadow. It's sunny out. You're going to see your shadow.
It's like six winters in a row now or something like that.
Yeah, he's got a... Let me think. It's about 7:30, so he probably already did it.
I have no idea. I never follow such things. I don't know.
All right. Anyway, so it's Groundhog Day, and yesterday Sophia came home and said, "Tomorrow's Hedgehog Day." And I said, what, at school? She said, "You know, when the... to see if there's only six more days of winter." oh, yeah. Groundhog.
Yeah.
Groundhog Day.
Yeah. Groundhog, babe.
Ned Ryerson?
Exactly. Oh, my God. Yeah. And you know what's funny? That's actually a movie that I have not seen in a long time, but I'm pretty sure I know every single scene by now. Pretty sure I got it. And I remember it freaking me out as a kid, the scene where he tries to kill himself. For some reason, just the visuals and the music and everything, like, I knew it was supposed to be silly and I knew it wasn't real, but for some reason that whole combination just messed me up as a kid.
Well, that's messed up.
You know what? You know what's funny? Now that I think about it, there's at least one scene in every Bill Murray movie that, like, creeps me out a little bit.
Bill Murray's a weird guy.
He is a weird guy, and yet...
Guys...
And yet a guy I would still like to have a conversation with, you know?
I have some late-breaking news.
Uh-oh, hold on, wait. I have noise for this. Okay. All right, what's going on?
Punxsutawney Phil sees his shadow.
Fuck!
Six more weeks of winter.
I mean...
It hasn't been a bad winter yet.
No, it hasn't.
We've had, what, like a dusting of snow?
Yeah.
And ice once.
Well, when did last year's snowstorm happen? Was that, like, the middle of February or something, wasn't it? Or was that, like, late January? I can't remember.
I don't remember.
I feel like it was after my birthday.
Yeah, I don't recall exactly when it was. I just know that it was later in winter, and it was the only storm we got.
Right, yeah. We got, like, a couple of dustings, and then just got totally nailed up the rear end with snow.
It was disgusting. Yeah, I don't remember when that was. I just remember it was awful.
All I know is that this year, my parents bought a snowblower, just in case.
Nice.
Because, you know, it's part of the process. You know, they're going through the process of accepting the fact that they're old people now. And, you know, they are staying active so that they stay physically healthy, you know.
Of course.
To a certain extent. But now, so they moved into the house, gosh, was it 2 years ago now? I think it's two years now. So now they have a big driveway.
Yeah.
They have a driveway with a little parking lot out back. And you know what? Fucked if I'm coming over and shoveling it, because I had all this shit to shovel over here.
Yeah, you kind of have it worse than having a driveway.
A little bit. I don't know.
I mean, okay, so I've been there. When we were neighbors, you know, our driveways were small, but the plows would just constantly plow us in, and right. We had nowhere to put the snow. But before that, the little house that Sarah and I lived in, we didn't have a driveway, but there was a driveway in front of the house.
Okay.
Which was for the next road over. It was a driveway for the house that was on that road. It was like their driveway behind their house. Why they didn't set it up so that there was a part for this house, I don't understand, and it always baffled me. Like, our front steps literally walked down to that driveway. Our steps didn't go down to the street.
Okay.
So I'd have to help him shovel his driveway because it was for us to get out. And then on our road, we were right across the street from what it used to be St. Pius High School, right across from their parking lot. So their plows, half the time, as they would plow the parking lot, would push the snow into our cars.
Yeah.
After I finished clearing our spaces, after I finished clearing what the street plows would do on the street,
right.
When they plowed us in, so I'm having to keep shoveling because plows keep pushing snow in every direction. So I'm doing my spot, Sarah's spot, and then our mailbox was all the way, like, in the back, and I had to make enough room for the mailman. So essentially, I'm clearing three spots, plus this dude's driveway, plus repeating everything.
I gotta say that this sounds like a situation where the road was paved, and then that little parking lot space was paved, and then they built the house. Like, there wasn't a whole lot of pre-planning. It was just kind of, oh, hey, there's a little stretch of road here. Let's build a house here. That sort of thing.
I mean, there were a couple, like, we weren't the only house. There was a house right behind us at the corner who had a driveway on Kime Street. And then there was ours, and we didn't have a driveway. Then the next house up was that dump.
Right.
Where the lady was a hoarder. But she was on the next street, like, was facing the front of the next street. So
Gotcha.
We may have been the only house with an address on my road, now that I think about it.
Well, you know, Pottstown, so.
Oh. It depends on where the address for the guy who lived behind me was.
I don't know.
Wow. So I never thought about that until now. So we may have been the only house on Mulberry Street.
Now you're all sorts of turned around.
Yeah, and I keep having to tell Sophia about that house because she's like, we've lived in four houses. I'm like, stop reminding me how many places we've lived.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, that's too many houses for a going on 6-year-old to live in.
Well, hold on. I lost count at one point. How many places Carissa and I have lived? So there was Phoenixville, apartment in Pottstown, then Red Hill, and up by her work, Lansdale, and then the townhouse, and then the apartment in Boyertown, and now our house in Boyertown.
So that's seven.
So in 7 years of being together, we've lived in seven different places.
Separate.
But at least the plan anyway is to stay put for a while. Like, we're going to be here for a while.
But three, since you've had Emma.
So,
and she's not going to remember.
Yeah, three since we've had Emma. Because we were still in Lansdale. We were just moving out of Lansdale when she was born.
Okay.
And then, you know, a few weeks later we moved into Pottstown next to you guys. And then Boyertown, and then Boyertown. So technically four, but she was only in Lansdale for like 2 weeks.
So that doesn't really count.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Sophia, we had our Mulberry house, townhouse, her parents, mine, and then it will be five when we buy our house.
Right.
But if I have to go back and count all the places that Sarah and I have lived together in...
Well, you guys go way back to college.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't share a place in college.
Oh, okay.
We did not do that. So, let me... Westchester, different place in Westchester for a month.
This is riveting radio, by the way.
Yeah. All right, it doesn't matter. I've lived probably nine places.
So, that's an interesting question. For our listeners out there, how long did it take you before you guys stayed in one place? Because, like, I know it's sometimes it's tough for military families because you're either going from base to base or, you know, after you're on base, then you go from house to house, that sort of thing. So what has that been like for you guys? Tweet at us, leave us a comment on Facebook or something like that. Facebook.com/PBDadcast and at PBDadcast on the tweets and the Instagrams.
It is interesting because obviously we have not settled.
Not
yet.
I mean, I think we're pretty well settled here at this point, but I mean, we've only been here for a year and a half, so we'll see.
Yeah, I never want to move once we move.
Right.
I never want to move again.
Right, yeah.
That's the tough thing, and obviously you guys went through this with the home buying process.
Right.
And I know this wasn't on our plan to talk about, but it's kind of an interesting thing, is when you're looking mm-hmm. and when you're budgeting for, okay, this is what we can afford, this is what we're approved at, as far as, you know, what size house you can afford, or what, you know, price house you can afford. Will you, you know, find something that's cheaper, more affordable in the now?
Right.
Or go a little bit above, you know, your means currently.
Yeah.
Knowing that, you know, in 2 years you're not going to have childcare to pay for.
Right.
You know, or whatever, so that you don't have to go through the process again.
That's essentially what we ended up doing. We ended up going, I think, gosh, I want to say our budget was $120, and we ended up paying $140. But, you know, overall wasn't that huge of a difference in what our mortgage payment is.
Yeah.
And then because we have a basement, we were able to eliminate our storage unit, and then... She's probably going to be starting kindergarten at the end of, like, you know, probably like 2018 or 2019.
Year and a half.
Yeah. So you know, all in all, good stuff.
We're doing all right. So you recoup some.
So this would actually be an interesting episode all unto itself because we've been through the home buying process. You guys are kind of in the home buying process right now.
Yeah.
And buying a home these days is a lot different, even compared to, like, the early 2000s because of the whole financial thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that would be an interesting... That could be one topic for a whole episode.
It really could. And
that'd be interesting.
I have a lot of frustrations right now with it because I've been trying... You know, obviously, we've been... not on our own for 2 years, and you know, I've been doing everything we can to get in the position to buy, to get an approval because I will be honest, like, our credit was in the toilet.
Right.
You know, we robbed Peter to pay Paul all the time, which is why we're in the situation that we're in.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of people who are there. So finally get yourselves back to where you think you are, and you get told one thing, and then you get told something else when it comes to the process.
Right, yeah.
And you're just, you know, you're like, I've been operating under this from what you told me, and then you come back with something else.
Yeah.
So it's just, I'm like, come on, man. I want my letter that I'm approved.
Yeah.
So that I can...
Just give me what I want, man.
Like, it'll be, like, seriously, in two weeks, we should have our letter based on everything we've gone through.
Right.
And there are houses we like. Like, one that we've looked at for months that we've been waiting for it to come on the market.
Right.
Just hit the market, and there's an open house this Sunday.
Oh, jeez.
I wish there wasn't an open house.
Yeah, right.
Because, you know, the chances are, it's an older house, it was on the market for a year, it got pulled, and they just completely redid it.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, the price is the same as it was listed at the year before. It's, you know, a good-sized house. Unfortunately, it's on a busy road and on 322, but...
Well, I'll tell you what, man. You could be my neighbor again if you felt like living in Boyertown. Schools are good. Schools are good. Little bit of racism, you know.
Yeah, I'm not gonna trade off racism for good school.
Well, you know.
You know, funny Boyertown story about racism.
All right, make it quick, though.
No, racism is funny.
Right.
My desk mate at work, she lives out your way in Gilbertsville.
Right.
And when they were looking, they're like, oh, the schools are good and all this. And, like, one of the people they talked to was like, yeah, it's great. There are no black people out here. And she was like,
oh, my gosh.
I'm like, she's like, that has nothing to do with anything. Why would you tell me that?
Man.
And I'm like,
that's terrible.
And I'm like, that's Boyertown. And I'm sorry, Boyertown, there are some nice people there, but there's also some racism.
There are some great people here. And you know what? You know what's interesting is that I've noticed, like, people of your generation and my generation, like Gen X and Millennials, have not held on to the same kind of ideas, like, same political ideas a lot of the times, but certainly not the same social ideas as, like, their parents or their grandparents are concerned. So it's basically just all the old people who are left in Boyertown are the ones that are keeping it alive.
Okay.
So, you know.
I thought you were going to say that kind of across the country, which I would not agree with.
I mean, No. It depends on what area you're in.
You know, based on everything that's going on in our country right now, I think that would...
Right.
You know, that it's a, could not,
it
could
is
not
such
be
a weird, you know, I had this weird feeling pre-election that I was like, okay, well, if Hillary wins, it's going to be complicated, but it won't be too messy. But if Trump wins, I had this weird feeling that he was immediately going to start doing stuff, and then everybody was going to be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Wait a minute. Hold on. Which seems to be the case, considering the dozens of millions of people turning out in, like, protests and stuff like that. And I'll tell you this
as far as that goes. Like, I completely disagree with pretty much every single thing he is doing, and I'm
so far,
honestly,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm terrified.
I'll tell you what, I'll give him credit for one thing. His Supreme Court nomination is not as bad as I thought it was going to be. I can't remember the guy's name, but he's pretty, he's not that bad.
But revealing it in a Apprentice-style game show type announcement was ridiculous. So Jeff Bogle put a post up where he said, you know, For some reason, I just have this, like, I can see the light out at the end of this.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I have a slight bit of hope. He said, I don't know why, I'm just feeling it. And for me, as horrifying as things seem right now,
yeah,
I can see where he's coming from. Because you see the people getting out and the people standing up, and, you know, it's more people. Right. You know, it's more people than more people, I would think, that did not vote are now starting to speak up. So it's more people getting involved in the process and
right.
letting their voices be heard.
Yeah.
And if they can keep it up.
Yeah.
The whole make America great again is everybody else is now going to do it in spite of.
Right. Of him. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it was pretty clear from even the pre-election standpoint that it was going to be the same turnout this past election that it was, you know, previously, where only, you know, wasn't it like less than 50% of the population of the United States, right? So left less than 50%. But it was pretty obvious by how much disdain there was for both that there were going to be more in the next election, in 4 years from now.
Yeah.
In 2020, I think. It's 2020, right?
Yes.
Okay. So in 2020, it's going to be a much larger, you know, turnout because more people are going to start feeling the effect of things that they don't like. You know, it's exactly. going to start actually hitting home, that sort of thing. But that is a whole episode unto itself as well.
Agreed. There's been so much dark stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's tough to watch. It's tough to live through. But let's move on to something light, like the Super Bowl.
You mean my ultimate hatred for Tom Brady? Even though here's the thing. I have to say something. I was watching the day one interviews for Super Bowl week, right? And because they have clips of him posted on the free version of the NFL app on the PlayStation.
Right.
For some reason, after watching all like the interviews and stuff like that, I now have this overwhelming feeling that the Patriots are going to win. Like, beforehand, I was really optimistic. I was like, Julio Jones is a beast. Matt Ryan has been playing amazing. You know, there's a chance. Like, there's a 50-50 chance it could go either way. But now I'm just kind of... I was like, oh, yeah, on Sunday, I'm going to go over to my parents' place. I'm gonna watch the Patriots win. That's how I've been thinking about it lately.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. I mean, I think it's going to be a good Super Bowl.
Oh, it's going to be a good game. It's going to be a great game. Yeah.
And, I mean, honestly, I hope the Falcons win. Because
I hope they destroy.
I do hope that, but I'm going to be honest. A little part of me
yeah.
wants to see the Patriots win. Because I want to see Roger Goodell's smug face be forced to hand the trophy to Tom Brady after, because I'm going to be honest with you, Deflategate was such a bunch of BS.
It was bullshit.
Patriots. It was just ridiculous over, you know, inflated balls.
Right.
Deflated balls. Yeah. You know what I mean? There are so many worse things that happen in the NFL that go unpunished that's the thing that they drug on for almost 2 years.
Right. Yeah,
I kind of just want to be forced to see Goodell have to be like,
yeah,
even though he said he would be proud to give it to him.
And that is the great debate for Patriot haters. Who do you hate more, the Patriots or Roger Goodell?
I'm having a little bit of a tough time.
I don't know. I think in the long term, I hate Goodell more.
Yeah.
But right now, Tom Brady and his pretty face.
Watch sport abs.
I know. Well, you know what? I'm probably going to end up sharing the post that I wrote. Was it last year? It was either last year or 2 years ago. I wrote a post about, you know, the top five reasons why we hate Tom Brady. And one of those reasons was that, clearly, he's too pretty to play football. Like, if you look at every other quarterback, successful quarterback, forever, the only one who comes close to his prettiness is Joe Namath back in the day. And even he was a little weird looking.
Come on, man, Dan Marino.
No. You kidding me? Dan Marino with his big-ass forehead.
Come on, man. John Elway. Jim Kelly. Jim Kelly.
Jim Kelly, yeah.
Yeah. No, you know, I never really thought about that. Oh, wait, no. Come on. Mark Sanchez, when he came out. When he first came into the NFL. Pre-butt fumble.
Maybe.
Matt Leinart.
Matt Leinart.
They were both like Pretty Boy USC.
Oh, you know what though? You know who I forgot?
Who?
I completely forgot Charlie Whitehurst. Clipboard Jesus. I don't know.
Has forgotten about Clipboard Jesus.
He rocks the beard. And I would say Alex Smith, except he's always got that angry look on his face. It's like, yeah, you know how there's the perpetual bitch face thing for
resting
ladies?
Bitch face.
Resting bitch face, yeah.
Yeah.
He's got... Well, so this is how I describe his... you know how they take the generic picture of the players for the Madden game, right?
Yeah.
He's got generic skinhead face. Is it...
That's terrible.
It's terrible. Yeah, I know. I probably shouldn't say that, but I'm just saying.
Not in today's climate.
He looks like an angry dude. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I can see that. But what sucks, it's a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So it's like forever until football.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so, that's always the bittersweet thing about the Super Bowl is, like, the biggest game of the year, and then no football at all for,
but, I mean, you know. The nice thing is, for the first time in, like, what feels like forever, there's an entertaining basketball team to watch in the Sixers.
Meh.
Which you don't get... You're missing out on the process. Meh. I told you you can't come back.
Meh.
The Flyers Embiid's are kind of up and down. Embiid's what?
Embiid's gonna flop.
Don't you talk about JoJo like that. I will smack the taste out of your mouth. Trust the process.
Yeah.
And the Phillies, you know, we'll see. But there's a little bit of hope. So it's not like the last few years. It's like football season ends and...
And then there's like
Sixers
nothing.
Sixers are just right. Like, they can't watch it.
Yeah.
Flyers, I'm like, okay, we'll get to the playoffs. And then the Phillies, it was like season was over by May.
Yeah.
So at least this year, there's a little bit, you know.
Well, there's the Flyers. I'll give you that. I'll give you the Flyers. Yeah.
Who got completely trounced the other night.
I know. It was a sad affair. But that seems to happen every once in a while. Like they, after their win streak.
They were terrible.
It was like, what, 10 or 12 wins or something like that?
It was 10, yeah.
And then they lost by 1 point, and now it's like they'll win 3 games and lose 2. Like crazy. Like crazy yeah. Bad. Like 5-2. I think the one Rangers game, or no, it wasn't the Rangers. It was the Bruins game right after their streak was like 5-0 they lost. Yeah. It was crazy.
Yeah, they lost to the Caps 5-0 last week, and then they lost to Carolina 4-0. 4-1 the other night. So, you know, it's whatever, but they're sports. Yay, sportsy.
Yay, sports ball. Yay. Yeah.
That's what keeps me sane. And when my kids drive me nuts like they do every single freaking day of my life.
So, speaking of the kids, I'm actually going to be going out to Walmart at some point today to get an Eagles shirt for the little one.
Nice.
Because they are having a little Super Bowl party tomorrow while they're at daycare.
Wear your favorite sports ball jersey.
And we're probably not gonna get her an actual jersey.
Oh, don't.
Maybe like a I don't know. Target usually has a lot of Zach Ertz T-shirts for some reason, but I'm not even really confident in that. I might have to go with Fletcher Cox. Because,
that's a good choice.
I mean, you know, he's obviously contracted to the team, so.
Yeah.
So or, it's not like he's going to be going anywhere anytime soon, and then we have a useless t-shirt, you know.
You could just go the generic plain Eagles t-shirt, though, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, could do. Yeah. We'll see.
I mean, I know you're a jersey fiend, but...
A little bit. Just a little bit. So here's something sports-wise that we should talk about as far as our kids are concerned. Are you going to give any room for your kids to like another team other than the teams that you like?
No.
No? Not even a little bit?
See, we differ in this. In that I like loyalty to the locals and where you're born, you know,
that's a shame.
Dictates who you root for.
You're such an old man.
No, we are never going to agree on this.
No, we're never going to agree on
but
this.
But because you do it wrong.
Yes, dear. Whatever you
call me, dear.
Whatever you say, mother. Yeah. No, because here's the thing.
Hey,
here's the thing.
Never call me mother again. I am not Mike Pence's wife.
I know, right? Although I had an interesting discussion about that with somebody at daycare the other day. Where it was like, because, you know, it's husband and wife, and they refer to each other as either mother and father or mommy and daddy in front of the kids. And it was the same way for both of their parents when they were
right.
kids, but they just kind of carry it on as a silly thing. But I made it clear to the person I was talking to, it was like, yeah, but Mike Pence is a really creepy dude. Like, they're really not, no, it's not like that. Like, I can understand.
He says it to adults.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a little, yeah. And their kids are way grown up now. You know. Yeah. But anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yeah. So, it's something that runs in my family where we like to give our kids the ability to be as much of an individual as possible. Like, we don't want to... You know, we don't want to overcrowd the kid with, you know, you have to do this because it's a family thing, or you have to do that because it's a family thing. Like, for instance, there has never been, at least to my knowledge, a junior in the Mullen family. Like, no Joe Jr.,
right.
No Mark Jr., nothing like that. That's just not something my family does. And so I've thought about it. I'm like, well, what if I do one of those video things? Maybe when she's older. Maybe when Emma's a little older.
Right.
But what I'll do is I'll get all those tiny little plastic football helmets. You know, all the different teams.
Yeah.
And I'll put them out on the table. I'm like, all right, kiddo. Pick your favorite one. And see what happens. Now, look. My fear is that she picks the Browns or the Raiders... Or the Chargers or the Rams.
She's going to pick the Cowboys.
Yeah,
and then that's going to be on you.
Yeah, I know.
And then she'll just be another Weasel Cowboy fan in Philadelphia. And then we can't be friends anymore.
What if I exercise like a little bit of control and I take out all the teams that will definitely be like a point of contention? Like, okay, Raiders, Rams, Chargers, Cowboys, Redskins.
Giants.
I don't mind the Giants, but that's kind of because they're not good. I don't know. I think that's it. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the Texans, but I don't really have a reason to hate them.
It's hard to hate the Texans, and it's easy to make fun of Brock Osweiler.
Yeah, you mean Brock Losweiler?
Because he's so bad. Oh, man, he's bad.
Look, I figured... Okay, so you're paying all these millions of dollars for essentially a rookie. And look, I get the fact that there is going to be at least one or two not so good seasons while he's getting into the role of being a starting quarterback and getting better at his mechanics and everything like that. But it was so bad.
Yeah, it...
Ugh, so bad.
Yeah, it was not pretty. Oh, well.
You know how there's always that joke about, some fan started a GoFundMe page to raise the money to buy back the contract of some player that now sucks or something like that? Yes. That's the only one that I was like, you know what? This is legitimate.
Oh, yeah.
The team lost a lot of fucking money.
And he's not even guaranteed to be a starter next year. Already, Bill O'Brien said that, so that's quite funny.
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious.
Lots of random talk this week from us.
Yeah, I want to wrap up our sports ball talk on one thing. Do you think... And do you even want DeSean Jackson to come back to the Eagles?
I would not be opposed to it. He should have never been gone.
Same here.
In the first place.
Right.
So, I mean, as long as they don't overpay, because he's over 30, you know, his speed's going to start to diminish soon, most likely.
I would think that they are going to pay a little more than the Redskins have over the past... What is it, 3-4 years?
I don't think the Redskins aren't gonna be able to afford him from the sounds of it.
No.
They'll bring in DeSean. Yeah. They'll somehow work out how to get Alshon Jeffrey, and then they'll draft Mike Williams from Clemson. That's what I want.
Who's Mike Williams from Clemson?
The Clemson receiver who's going in the draft, who's phenomenal.
No. Listen to me. You bring back D-Jax, you get Alshon Jeffrey, okay? The two of them, plus D-Jax's ability, because you know he has this ability, to train with and elevate the other receivers on the team. I think Aguilar is a lost cause, but DGB is not. So then we got three good receivers.
Jordan Matthews is better than DGB, but...
Which means we draft a cornerback. Because, fuck me, we need a quarter.
No, I agree with that. But did you watch the national championship game?
I did not watch the national championship game. No.
Watching Mike Williams, I'm pretty sure that's his name, go up and catch every single ball thrown up in the air reminded me of watching AJ Green and Calvin Johnson in college. Just completely dominant.
And that's fine. But if you already have...
You need a
three
young
great receivers.
None of them are great.
But DGB will be great.
No, he will not.
He's just got to stop being a prick and run a route sometime soon. Like, actually follow the route. He can catch. He's a big target. He can run. Yeah. He's just got to be disciplined. That's all.
Something like that.
I don't know. Whatever. Okay. Yeah, let's call it. We'll call it a week on this one. We hope everybody enjoys the Super Bowl, whether your team's in it or not, or whether you like the outcome or not. Because let's be honest, most of us are going to be pissed if the Patriots win. But
probably yes.
All right.
And keep fighting for your rights. Keep it up.
Damn skibby.
All right. All right. Till next week.
Peace.